Short passage, a short chapter. Okay, some of y'all are getting it. You know, Psalm 119, y'all are like, here we go. Psalm 119, starting in verse 1, it says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimony and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. I will keep Thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to Thy word. With my whole heart have I sought Thee. Oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments. Thy word have I hidden heart in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Blessed art Thou, O Lord, teach me Thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all Thy judgments of Thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of Thy testimonies as much as in all riches." In verse 14, it says, "I have rejoiced in the way of Thy testimonies as much as in all riches." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You so much for Your goodness, grace, and Your mercy, Lord. I want to thank You so much for a wonderful year that has transpired, Lord. And I thank You for the promise, Lord, that You've just been so good to us, Lord. And You'll continue, Lord, to be mindful of us, Father. And we have another year to look forward to, Father. And we thank You so much that we still have Your word and the freedom to read it and to hear it preached and sit underneath the teaching of it, Lord. We thank You in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Now, Psalm 119 has been known as the Psalm of the Word. Now, when I first came to Liberty Baptist Church, I did not really realize how great an importance Liberty Baptist Church placed upon the Word of God, the Bible. I really didn't. I mean, I remember when I started to get a hint of it, when I'd hear a preacher mention the King James Version. And I'd be just like, oh, King James Version, you know. And then when he would stand up and he'd begin to preach and he'd say, "You got your Scofield Bible with you." And I was like, oh, your Scofield Bible, okay. So I remember when I first went out to find a Bible, I need to get my own Bible. I went out looking for a Scofield Bible. I was like, "Do you have a Scofield Bible?" And they were like, "Oh, well, Scofield Bible, what do you want? What exactly are you?" And I was like, "Oh, well, okay, wait, yeah, they mentioned King James. King James also. Yes, make sure it's King James, you know." And when I got it, I thought all King James Bibles were Scofield King James Bibles. And then I got to talking to people, and I got to see in their Bible, and I said, "Their Bible has different colors. Why does your Bible have different colors in it?" You know, and then I found out that, you know what, there's different publishers that publish, they produce a King James Bible, the 1611 King James Bible. And then I was like, oh, wow, this is, okay, so why is this one so important? What is so important about this one? Why is it that Liberty Baptist Church uses this particular Bible? And then that was it. I mean, preacher, he went into, you know, why we stick with the old King James. I mean, he went into, you know, it's proven results. He went into how pure it comes from, a pure stream rather than a corrupt stream of text. I mean, then I ended up getting the opportunity to sit under a class of Brother Nichols, pastor taught on bibliology. I mean, where we got our King James Bible, and I was like, just wow. This is absolutely incredible. And as I read the Word of God, I realized, you know what? This is not just a bunch of words put together by man, compiled into this book, and I've got the mind of man, you know, their interpretation of the mind of God. I don't have that. I actually have the Word of God. He actually helped me to get a more a grasp, a real respect, a real honor and reverence for this book. I realized I have the Word of God. Well, guess what? It was out of this book that I got saved. I didn't get saved out of the New World Translation, although I had sat a many a Bible study with the New World Translation. You know, that corrupt, you know, piece of publication that the Jehovah's Witnesses put out. I sat under that and the teaching of it, and guess what? Never once got saved. Never once actually felt a burden to get saved. But it was that day that they preached from the 1611 King James Bible up here at this pulpit that I felt conviction. I realized I was a sinner. I realized and was told and shown what I needed to do to have my sins cleansed, to be made whole, to be given salvation, to have eternal life. It was from this book. So to me, it became very important. To me, it became important that, you know what? If this is the book that's going to help people to get saved, then you know what? This is what I need to use. This is what I need to tell people. Because guess what? I remember when I got saved, I wanted to witness to folks. I wanted to talk to them. I wanted to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ and how He died for them to save them from their sins. But guess what? I didn't know scriptures. I didn't memorize scriptures. Matter of fact, there were times I didn't even have a Bible on me. And I would just give them my testimony. And I would tell them the story. But you know what? There just didn't seem to be the same amount of power, authority behind it. It just didn't seem to have it. But you know what? What happened when I got right with the Lord and I started reading God's Word and I started memorizing Scripture, I found out about the Romans Road. I mean, the Romans Road, I thought, wow, this is a road that's been around for centuries. You know, this road's been around for a long time. Everybody knows this road. But the truth is, no. There aren't a whole lot of people that can be that know how to go from, I'm a sinner, where my sin came from, I've got a payment and a debt that I owe, but God loves me and He's provided for that payment. And here's how He's provided for that payment. And not only has He provided for that payment, He's given it to you, the opportunity to trust Him and receive Him. And here's how you do it. I remember the first time that I ever felt any kind of conviction for salvation, that you know what? I need this. I came down to the altar and I was like, I need this. I've got to and the guy put his hand on my head and started speaking in tongues. And I was like, okay, Lord, protect me. Just whatever this is, I'm not sure I want this, because this is kind of scaring me. It's kind of making me worry. If I start talking like this guy, you know, I don't know what he's saying. I don't know what's going on here. So guess what? I got up, lost. I walked away, lost. If they would have given me the plan of salvation, I'd have been saved right then and there. Because I was under conviction. But you know what? They didn't do that. You know, they were speaking about gifts and things like that, and you need to, you know, have the Spirit come down on you. But wait a minute, He talks about His Word as being Spirit. So you know what the truth is? I just needed the Word of God. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. I needed the Word of God. And at Liberty Baptist Church, that's what they gave me. Amen. They invited me to come on down. Not that way. They said, come on down. No, they didn't do it that way. But they invited me to be able to come forward and somebody would take the Bible and show me how to be saved. You know what? I was like, that's what I need. I need salvation. So I came down. Somebody took the Bible, showed me through the Bible how I could be born again. You know what one of the things that we do at the booth, at Fiesta, is we invite a person to sit down and just let somebody show you. Just let them show you how to be saved. Matter of fact, I love the way they put it. We're not asking you to do anything. Just let Him show you. And most people, when they're shown, they go, wow, I didn't know this. I want to do this. I do want to get saved. Let me tell you something. You know, a regular commercial, you know, it's about 15 seconds, maybe 30 seconds, 45 seconds. They start losing you if it gets any longer than that. Because, you know, our attention span just kind of gone. You know, we're too busy wanting to get back to the show we're watching. Most shows nowadays, you know, television shows, 45 minutes average. You know what the truth is? If we can sit through that and then several little commercial breaks,
What is it about that we can't get into the Word of God and read it? Why we can't devote that hour to the Word of God? I remember one time I said, okay, let's sit down and we're going to read the Bible. And we read four chapters. It didn't take long at all. It was absolutely amazing how little time it took to read four chapters. And I thought to myself, I'll sit through a two-hour movie. I'll sit through a two-hour movie. But you know what? It may inspire me. Man. Actually, I've sat through some movies that didn't inspire me. They broke my heart. I mean, I was like in tears. I'm not ashamed to say I cried. I was like, it's so beautiful. I love Toy Story. Don't lie. Don't lie. Somebody, you know you cried through Toy Story 3. No, I'm just kidding. Anyways. But you know what? They just broke my heart. But I don't know how many times that I get into the book of Luke. I start reading about the crucifixion, and it breaks my heart when I think about how much God loves me and what He did for me. I get into the Word of God, and all of a sudden I'm reading along, and He speaks to me. You know how many people walk around saying, you know what, I just wish God would just talk to me. Get in the Word of God. Read the Bible. I'll be honest, I don't normally think God's talking to me during Leviticus or Chronicles. You know, I mean, I get into, you know, Comet and Cupid and, you know, I mean, I just get it gets so bogged down, like, wow, Lord, just help me get through these. You know, so-and-so begat so-and-so and so-and-so begat so-and-so. But you know what? It amazed me because it says that the Word of God, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Do you know there was a question that I had? I said to myself, you know what? Ahithophel. Does anybody know who Ahithophel is? Ahithophel, it was as like the oracles of God. It talks about this wise man. I mean, he was David's, you know, counselor, wise. I mean, this guy is incredible. I mean, it's like Ahithophel. But you know what? Ahithophel sided with Absalom. When Absalom rebelled, Ahithophel sided with Absalom. I was like, what? How could this guy, so smart, do that? That was ridiculous. And I always wondered. I always sat there and said, that just doesn't make any sense. I mean, you mean to tell me, I mean, as the oracles of God, like, you know, the wise teachings, that you seriously, and you could end up siding with Absalom on this? That doesn't make sense. You know what? Preacher one day was preaching, and it was out of the book of Chronicles that he ended up teaching us and showing us that, you know what? Ahithophel was related. He had some relation and dealings with Uriah the Hittite and Bathsheba. Imagine that. Now I understood. David sent Uriah to the front lines back after he had committed adultery with his wife, had a child out of wedlock. Wow. I could see now why Ahithophel was pretty upset. Now, Ahithophel, I still think he made a bad choice in doing that. Absolutely. But now I understood. Now I see why he was kind of upset and really upset with David on that. I see why he ended up making such a bad decision and going that route. But it was out of Chronicles to find out the genealogies and who was related to who. I was like, wow, you know what? I'd have kept skipping over it and kept going. Not skipping over it, excuse me. I'd have kept just reading as fast as I could through it, you know. You know that kind of reading that you do? You sit down and you just get to reading and all of a sudden, you know, you find out two chapters later, you have no idea what you just read. You're just like, wow. And I can't stand that. That is... I can't handle that. Me, I have to go, oh man, I know I just read these two chapters, but I wasn't even paying attention to any of it. I got to go back to where I remember what I was reading about and read it again. Because the truth is, I want God to speak to me. I want Him to speak to me. Some of my biggest decisions, guess what? I don't always run to preacher and say, "Preacher, look, what do I got to do during this?" You know, because you know what he does? He gives me scripture. So you know what I do first? I say, "Lord, in my daily reading, speak to me. You know this is what's going, this is what either I'm facing or I'm going to face. Please speak to my heart. Guide me and direct me. Give me instruction." And you know what I start to read? I don't know how many times all of a sudden I go, once again, God's answered my prayer. Once again, he's done just that. Now, we used to have this thing called daily bread. Daily bread. And it's pretty cool. I like the idea. It's pretty neat. But guess what? If you ate that much a day, you're going to die. I mean, I'm talking crumb. You know, what it is there's a bunch of little, you know, little slivers of paper, cardboard, and they have almost like fortune cookies. You know how big that little paper is or something like that? And it's got a scripture on it. And you pull out of there and you read that little scripture and, you just kind of meditate on that scripture right there. And, you know, me, I just kind of like, okay, Mom, read it, thank you, got to go, you know, and go about my way. Starving, anemic, that's how I was. That's how I felt. It wasn't until I said, you know what, I'm ready to eat. I am starved. I got to eat. Where I started reading and I couldn't get enough of it. Where I was staying up late. Where I was starting to get down where I was getting close. So using the light. I mean, I remember light shining through this doorway, you know. And I used to slide my Bible to where that light would shine down on the Word of God. And I'd sit there and I'd read. And I'd just keep reading. And I keep reading. And it was like I couldn't get enough of it. I couldn't get enough of it. Do you know what? Now, I do this. Lord, I'm going to live my life. I'm going to be walking. I'm going to be talking. I'm going to do my thing. And then all of a sudden, you know what? I'm going to have decisions to make on a regular basis. I need you to bring back to my remembrance and guide me and direct me. Because I'm putting it in, so you need to help me to make the right decisions. Help me to walk right. Help me not to turn to the left nor to the right, but to remove my foot from evil. Help me to make the right decisions in life so I don't get myself messed up and get you upset with me. And guess what? It's exactly what he does. You know what? It was ridiculous for me to ask for help during tests that I didn't do any studying for, that I didn't even show up to class for. Help me to remember what I never heard. Or never read. Yeah, just help. Just put it in there like a magician. Listen. Put it in. Purposely. Get in the Word of God. Read the Bible. You know what? I'll sit there and I'll start talking to somebody about salvation. And you know, of course, they've got their questions and they want to go here and they want to go there. And I keep trying to bring them back here. Salvation. You need to be saved. And they say, well, what about, you know, what is it? Enoch's wife. Where did he get her? And you know, all these crazy things. Did Adam have a belly button? Don't worry, I've asked these same questions, you know, but I took him to preacher, you know. I even wanted the right answer. I'm just kidding. But no. I mean, all these questions. They want to do this, do that. You know what? When I finally end up leaving these folks, you know what my emphasis is? Get in the book. Read the Bible. Ask God to direct you to salvation. Because listen, if you know this and you know that, oh, yeah, that's great, awesome. But if you die and go to hell, it doesn't matter what you knew. Let's find out where you're going from here. From this life, where are you going? So get in the book. Find out that. Ask that question. Ask the Lord to show you that. Because the truth is, you know what? God will guide you and direct you to salvation. He can. I mean, Paul told that to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 15. Chapter 3, verse 15. Says, now remember, this is to the preacher, Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, get this, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Wow. through faith which is in Christ Jesus. This whole book, when you read this book, look for Jesus in it. Look for Jesus in the Bible. I'm talking not just, when I get to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'm talking throughout the Scriptures as you read. Look for Jesus. It's amazing how many times I'll sit there and I'll go, that's a prophecy about Jesus fulfilled. Oh, that's a prophecy about Jesus, and here's where it was fulfilled. I'll sit there. I remember every Christmas we do the same thing. We sit down and we read the Christmas story out of the Bible, and then we do our gift giving and stuff like that. But this last time I was like, how many prophecies? How many times did you hear, as it was written about? So and so wrote this about Jesus, so that it might be fulfilled, so that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. Do you see how many times that was written? People sit there and want to say, that book was, but look at all the prophecy fulfilled. Look at all these things that God said in the Old Testament that were fulfilled in the New Testament. They say, that's because it was written by man. Oh, really? Men that lived on different continents, at different time periods. I'm sorry, but I believe holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I mean, God spake this book into existence. And if God spake this book into existence, Psalm 138. Psalm 138 says this. Psalm 138, verse 2 says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. God has placed a great emphasis on his word. One of the titles that Jesus has, he's referred to as the Word. He's the living word. We have the written word. I mean, I love when all of a sudden, actually, I don't love it. It kind of makes me go, what? Are you kidding? When somebody says, no, I believe Jesus, but I don't believe that book. And it's like, oh, really? That's the only place I hear about him. That's the only place I see the story. That's the only place I've ever learned anything about Jesus Christ is through that book. Okay, so you believe Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But what about all the parts that Jesus actually said, oh, yeah, thou hast known the Scriptures? Hast thou not known the Scriptures? He just kept referring back to, hey, you know what? Before I got here, before I started walking here with y'all, didn't y'all read this? Don't y'all know this? Doesn't the law say this? He's confirming those things that folks say, well, I don't believe that book, but, Jesus, I believe. Oh, yeah, I believe in God. Really? The only one that really actually speaks with God-like authority. Otherwise, what is your faith based upon? Mine, I'm sorry, it rests upon one book. So what is our emphasis? As far as I know, at Liberty Baptist Church, preacher still gets up here and preaches from this book. As far as I know, our tracks, they don't have a feel-goody, come cushy, we want to. They still have the plan of salvation. When we go door-to-door, guess what? I loved it. I was told the other day by a young man, he says, I was telling him, how you doing? My name is Kurt Pigeon. I'm from Liberty Baptist Church. And, we're just in the neighborhood. We're out inviting folks to church. That's kind of my break-in. My let them know who I am, where I'm from, and kind of my intent for standing at their door in the middle of the night. Not really at the middle of the night. We don't go out that late. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. Scared. Well, y'all go at midnight? No, we don't. We're not like Paul, cease not, door to door. No, we actually go out at a regular time, a decent time. It's not bad at all. And you know what the young man said? Yeah, but, aren't we trying to get him saved? Yes, we're trying to get them saved, but I'm trying to let them know why I'm standing on their doorstep, you know. Yes, I'm inviting them to church, because guess what? If they don't get saved, yes, I would like them to come to church, because I know preacher will be preaching the book. Preacher will be giving salvation message, especially, you know, Sunday morning, you know. Or there'll be a salvation invitation, an invitation to those who don't know for sure they're on their way to heaven to come forth and get saved. Now, let me tell you something. I'd like to get them at the door. If I can't get them at the door, I'd like to get them to read the tract. You know, take the tract. Because the truth is, there's promises attached to giving out the Word of God. There's promises about the power of the Word of God. If we would commit it to memory, guess what? When we speak the Word of God, when we give out Scripture, did you know there's power in that? There's power in that. I mean, it talks about the devils would shudder at the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I know that there are the charismatic that, you know, Jesus, Jesus, you know, it's like, oh, well, that's the magic words, and go away, run, flee. And I'm sure they do tremble and frighten at the name of Jesus Christ. But I don't know about always, because you find out about those seven sons of Sceva that talked about Jesus, whom Paul preacheth, and he didn't get too scared. That guy jumped on them, beat them up, took all their clothes, and sent them off naked. But you know what? When you give out the Word of God, and you quote Scripture, understanding that this isn't your word. Sometimes I have to let them know that, hey, these aren't my words, because, you know, they sometimes get offended when they start hearing the Word of God. They start getting mad, you know. Well, I know, and, you know, and it's because they've been taught, and, you know, something else, something tradition, you know. But all of a sudden, they start to get upset, and it's like, oh, whoa, whoa, it's not my words, it's the Word of God. Look, I mean, I'm just showing you what God said. This is the Word of God. You said you believed this. You believed that it was the Word of God. So that's what we're going to use, is the Word of God. I've never been complimented any greater than when I had a woman get upset with all my answers. But all my answers were quoted Scriptures. All my answers were quoted Scriptures. And she said, you're nothing but a book. I was like, wow. Jesus is referred to as the Word. Lord, this is incredible. I've just been referred to as the book. You know, they used to call some men, a group of fellows that would go around and teach the Bible and preach the Bible, and they'd call them Bible men. Wow. You're one of them Bible fanatics, aren't you? Well, amen, I sure am. It's the one thing that I have that's been left by God to guide and direct me. It's the one weapon I've been given that the Holy Spirit might use it and thrust and take down some of those strongholds. You know what? It's the one thing that when I'm at the end of my rope, I'm at the actual end of my rope, I have, it just feels like no comfort, no peace. I get to read. Oh, the Psalms. I had a preacher tell me one time, he goes, read the Psalms. I was like, oh, great preacher. Okay, I just came to you. My life's falling apart. Here it all is. And you say, read the Psalms. And it's exactly what I needed. Because as I read through the Psalms, it's just my heart would be broken and then lifted up and then just comforted. And just, it was just incredible. It was amazing to me how that was his solution to my problem, was read the Psalms. I wish we could put the emphasis this year. Put the emphasis back on this book. Job said that he esteemed his word more than his necessary food. If we could say, like I heard a Bible college student say, Brother Pigeot, I remember when I sat down to read my Bible, and I started reading, and I was reading, and I finished, you know, his required reading, and he prayed and said, Lord, you know, is this all? Is that it? He told me, he said, you know, I was hungry. I didn't have anything to eat. I didn't know where I was going to get some food. I didn't have any money. And he said, but I felt God say, no, that's not it. Keep reading. So he said he got back in the Bible and started reading again. Then he stopped. Stomach started growling. He closed it and he prayed again. Lord, is that it? Is that all? And he just felt like the Lord said, nope, get back in the book. And he got to reading again. And then guess what? All of a sudden, about that time, a knock at the door. Fella comes in. Fella college student says, man, I just got all these tacos, you know, and I can't eat them all. And so I was wondering if you want the rest of them. Well, of course, he said, no, I'm reading. No, I'm just kidding. I'm busy reading. I have meat that ye know not of. Okay, back off. No. Of course, he took it. But you know what? He saw that as God saying, hey, you know what? My word is more important than your hunger. This is what you need to hunger for. That young man, wow. It amazes me. It amazes me when I talk to him about the Bible. I sit there and go, you remind me of somebody. You remind me of somebody. But you know what? I think it's because he placed such an emphasis on how important that book was, how important our Bible is, that we need to read it daily. Now, I'm lazy. I really am. I got too many things to do. I've got no time to sit down and open the Bible. So I got it on my phone. I've got a Bible app. Guess what? I've got a Bible app that I can go, you know, technology, you know, and sit there and flip through and, okay, here's where I'm reading. Okay, start reading. But now my eyes are starting to go. You can see I start to need glasses and whatnot. So I said, well, I can still hear. So I've got a Bible app that I can listen to the Word of God. And I love Alexander Scorby's voice. I just mean it. I like the way he reads the Bible. Some of y'all may like, what is James Earl, you know, Jones? I mean, you know, Mufasa, you know, when he reads. He reads the Bible with power. But I like Alexander Scorby, and I love to hear him read the Bible to me. And guess what? There'll be times where I'll just forget. I mean, I'm just listening and listening and listening and listening and listening. And it's like, you know what? I'm in Hebrews. I started in the New Testament. You know, the whole day, it's time for me to go home, and I've been listening to the Scriptures all day. My day's been great. This is awesome. Got all this stuff done, taken care of. But I've gotten to listen to the Scriptures. But then there's other times where it's like, whoa. Pause, rewind, go back. Did I just hear what I think I heard? Wow, that's incredible. I never got that before. You know, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. There's a direct, you know, promise about, you know, you want your faith strengthened? Listen to the Word of God. I'm not a good reader. Listen to the Word of God. Listen to it. Get yourself some CDs. I remember I bought myself that entire CD collection. Guess what? To listen to the Word of God. Please, let this year be that year that you read through your Bible. And don't think of it as a chore. Think of it as a daily communion with God. He's speaking. You know what? When my boy was a little kid, Henry, he had a problem looking at me while I talked to him. He had a problem looking at me. I'm serious. I could put him right in front of me. I'd say, okay, now, and he'd look that way. And he'd look that way. He'd look over my shoulder. I was like, look at me. Look at me. Okay, right here. Watch this. And he'd turn and I'd be like, oh, no, right here. Right here. Look. And then he got where he could do it. He does this. And he would stare. Now he does it, and I'm sitting there going like this, hello! I know you're looking at me, but are you listening to me? Now he stares, but it's like, hello, do you hear what I'm saying? You know what? When God wants to speak to us, are we listening? Are we actually looking into it and saying, Lord, speak to me, direct me, guide me, show me, help me? Because let me tell you something, if you'll do that, if you'll place that kind of emphasis on the Word of God in your daily Bible reading, you would be amazed. You'll be amazed at the change in your life. Sometimes it's not, oh, well, you'll get a whole bunch of blessings at it. No, it's just sometimes your attitude about your problems, your outlook about how things are going. You know what? I've read the end of a book and the beginning and in the middle and all through it. There's parts of Scripture that I've read over and over and over and over again. But I can tell you this, I've not exhausted it. It's living. It's alive. Please, treat it as such. A friend of mine gave me this Bible. He gave it to me. I wanted it, actually. I actually saw somebody with it and said, wow, a wide margin. That's like a preacher's Bible. I like that. That's awesome. And all the verses are in the very same spot as the Bible I used to study out of. They're in the very same spot. So I may not know, but I know it's on left side, bottom left. There it is. That's the same place. And I was like, wow, I want a Bible like that. And they said, oh, they're out of print. They don't make them anymore. They don't make that one anymore. You kidding me? Okay, eBay. Ooh, that's really, really expensive. One day, he came to me and he said, hey, would you rather have a Glock for your birthday or a Bible? And I looked at him, and he goes, pow. And I went, I've been given guns and I've never cried. I cried the day I got this book. Because this has been more important to me in my defense, in my warfare, in my daily communion, in my comfort, in my assurance, in my security, than anything I've ever been given or that I think I could ever get. It's been this book. If I had nothing else, I'd want to have this book. That's one thing I do not want to give up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for your goodness, grace, and your mercy, Lord.